Today, the schedule is, today I want to do Grapshel Re'i, which is a very Nogea Sugya in Hilchos Muxa, so we're going to skip Sif Lamed Gimel and go to Lamed Dal and Hei Lamed Vav is Grapshel Re'i, and then Be'ez Hashem, tomorrow, if we get there, I'd like to discuss pets in Halacha, because that's what comes next. So Grapshel Re'i is very Nogea L'maisa when it comes to taking out the garbage on Shabbos, when it comes to, if you have in your kitchen one of those sliding drawers that opens up the garbage, like it's not just where you hit the pedal and the thing opens, you know what I'm talking about? Okay, right, so it's relevant for that. If you are a waiter in camp and you have one of those wheelie garbages that you bring to the table and then you dump everything into the garbage from there, so are you allowed to move any of these things? Are these things all mukza? And under what circumstances are you allowed to move them? Now, it happens to be the way that this is discussed in Shas and in Poskim and in Shulchan Aruch is not really about garbages. It is about a Grapshel Re'i. It's about a bathroom, a toilet bowl that they didn't have indoor plumbing, so it wasn't like this nice ceramic bowl where you flush and then it just becomes perfectly clean to the point that pets and children would drink out of it. But it was like gross and smelly and everything for a long time. So they have to dump out their pots that they used to relieve themselves and then bring them back into the house. So the shaila is, can you dump it out and can you bring it back into the house? Because the chora, the excrement is totally muksa. So the question is then going to become, okay, so now that I know that there's such a thing as a muksa called Grapshel Re'i, what qualifies as Grapshel Re'i? The garbage in our kitchen, half of it is probably still edible or usable. We're just so rich, we could afford to throw away half-eaten chicken, and we could afford to throw away perfectly usable plastic cups and plates and cutlery and things like that. So is all of that considered Grapshel Re'i? Because it's just gross, because we deemed it as garbage, so it's considered gross. So how do we handle those situations? That's basically, and also obviously the real example of Grapshel Re'i that we have in homes is if someone has a baby that has a dirty diaper. So the dirty diaper is an actual Grapshel Re'i. So that's the halacha lemaisa element of it. But in order to get to the halacha lemaisa, like, we need a little bit of the background. So we're going to see what it says in Poskim, and then we'll go into the halacha lemaisa. So again, Grapshel Re'i literally means a bucket of excrement, a bucket of waste. So it's muksa machmas gufo. It's like rocks and sticks. It has no use whatsoever, and therefore it's obviously muksa. However, Chazal have a special kula dafka by Grapshel Re'i that doesn't apply to rocks. It doesn't apply to wood or sticks or things like that. And that is that because, we'll see what because of what, but you're allowed to remove a Grapshel Re'i when it's really gross, when it's really messing up your home environment. You're allowed to remove a Grapshel Re'i. So the Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Kuf Chaf Aleph, there are two girsos in the Gemara as to why you're allowed to remove a Grapshel Re'i on Shabbos. You have a Grapshel Re'i right in the middle of your living room, so it's really ruining your whole Shabbos environment, so you're allowed to remove it. Why are you allowed to remove it? So according to the girsos of the Rambam, the Riff, and the Rush, you could remove a Grapshel Re'i because of Kavod HaBrios. The Kavod HaBrios, Doch HaLosei Shem Torah, and that's a Kavod HaBrios concern if it's going to be there the whole Shabbos. I once actually had this halacha lemaisa in my home in Camp Keli, the place where I stay for a month in Camp Keli. I noticed that my first year there that every time you flush the toilet, I hear this like whirring sound that doesn't just sound like a toilet flushing, like the force of water, but it sounds like there's some sort of electric pump that's being activated. And my suspicions were confirmed when there was a blackout and the toilet wouldn't flush. So what does a blackout have to do with the toilet flushing? It's because there was an electric pump that was every single time you flush the toilet, the sink wouldn't turn on. Well, the cold water would turn on, the hot water wouldn't. So the sink would, or I don't remember, but the sink wouldn't turn on, and the toilet wouldn't flush because everything is running with an electric pump. So the shaila was, am I allowed to flush the toilet on Shabbos? This is very, very common. It may happen in some of your homes with basement plumbing. If you have a basement that's been redone, that's been fixed up nicely, and there's a bathroom in the basement, there is a very high likelihood that the contractor didn't even ask any questions and just put in an electric pump, because there's this thing that God created called gravity, and in order to flush the toilet out of the basement, to get the stuff out of the basement, it's got to go up. So the only way to get it up is if there's an electric pump that pushes it up. So very often, basement plumbing is asr to use on Shabbos, meaning if you can help it. But in my place in camp, it's the only toilet we have. I mean, I don't have like this residence with multiple bathrooms, and you know, it's only that one place. So are you allowed to use it? So I called Rav Shachter and I asked him if I'm allowed to flush the toilet on Shabbos. And he said, Kavar Abrios dochol asay shabbataris. So it's a Kavar Abrios. So I said, maybe we should do Amir la'akum, and I should get like the maintenance staff should go around to all the staff bungalows like every 2 hours and just go flushing the toilets. He said, I think that's also Kavar Abrios, meaning that they're going to have to run around flushing your toilets is also Pagavan Kavar Abrios. He said, do with the shinui if you can help it, meaning you might as well, you know, flush with your foot or with your elbow or something like that. So that's better than, but it's something just to keep in mind, you know, when you're, if you ever have to redo a basement or something like that, to speak to the plumber and figure out at least not to make it a psikration that every single time that the electric pump is going to be activated. There's a way to do it. Rav Harfenis writes in Nishma Shabbos that there's a way to set it up where the electric pump is not activated every time, where the tank is big enough that it's every three flushes or so, every two or three flushes before the electric pump activates. So then it's at least the suffix psikration. And a seventh psikration maybe is a davar shein miskaven. So you have that to perhaps rely on davar shein miskaven on the din d'rabbanan, or a seventh psikration on the din d'rabbanan. So maybe that you'd have what to rely on. But anyway, so that's an actual graf shel ri. But the Rambam and the Rush say that the reason you're allowed to remove a graf shel ri, the way they have the Girsa and the Gemara, is based on the concept of kavod abrios. However, Rashi and Rabbeinu Yeruchim and the Bach say no. It's the reason you're allowed to remove a graf shel ri is because dogs eat that stuff. So since a dog would eat it, a dog would drink the water out of your toilet. So that's why you're allowed to remove a graf shel ri. Now, Kamina would be, what if it's not really a kavod abrios issue? What if you have a situation where no one's going to use that room again on Shabbos? You have, when I used to live in Cedarhurst, we had a very tall house. It was three floors. So our family lived on the first and the second floor, and then the third floor was like two rooms and a bathroom that we only used when there were guests there. So let's say you have a graf shel ri up on the third floor, you're not using it, your family's not using it, you don't have any guests over, and it could wait until after Shabbos. You can just close the bathroom door and you're not going to use it at all. So if the issue is an issue of kavod abrios, there's no chisaron in kavod abrios. You're not even going to access that room the entire time. But if it's an issue that it's simply not muksa because a dog would eat it, so first of all, you have to find a dog crazy enough to eat it. I guess you have to know that a dog would eat it. But if a dog would eat it, so then it's just not muksa, and then you're allowed to remove the whatever it is that's up there. So the Shulchan Aruch and Siflam Dalid writes, "Kol davar matunav kagon ri'i v'ki v'tzoa." So like the bein shel adam bein shel tarnagol mechiyotzu behem im hayu b'chatzor sheyoshvim ba. That if it's in a place that sheyoshvim ba, if it's in a place where people are hanging around, then you're allowed to remove it. So who's Shulchan Aruch passing like? He's saying it's only in a place sheyoshvim ba. The Rambam and the Rosh, right? Very clearly that it's only a kavod abrios issue, and therefore only if it actually is a kavod abrios issue, then you're allowed to remove it. Afilu below kli, you could even pick it up directly. We'll get to that in a moment. So Mishmura, the Shulchan Aruch, rather like the Rambam and the Rif and the Rosh, that it's something disgusting, excrement, vomit, or a spit, or Mishmura in Sivkatan Kuf Lamed adds, or if you have an achbar, you have a dead mouse, the achbar meisa nimtza mutal otzio, the adayim itam graf shel ri'i, that's also called graf shel ri'i, and you could be motzio biadayim, the dirshu, he says, and what about a live mouse? So he quotes from Nissim Karel, it's that's not called the graf shel ri'i, because it's not maus, it's just mafria. That a live mouse is just something that's annoying, but it's not disgusting. And Rav Eliashiv holds that an achbar chai is also considered graf shel ri'i. Most people are grossed out by live mice as well, right? Meaning it's not that, ooh, it's dead. It's, ooh, it's a mouse, right? When you see it. So if you have a mouse in the mouse trap, so that's the machlok from Nissim Karlsson and Rav Eliashiv, whether that's called the graf shel ri'i. That unfortunately sometimes is nogea lemaisa as well. You have a mouse in the mouse trap. I remember when I was in Karen B'Yavne, we used to have a mouse trap. We lived in a what do they call those things? A caravan, and we had a shtickle mouse problem in the caravan. So the yeshiva, we asked for an exterminator. So that didn't happen. So they sent some guy in like this undershirt with a broom in his hand and a long beard. I don't know. It was like he was a weird character, almost like a caricature. And he came and he said, "Where's the mouse?" We're like, there are like a million of them. They come in whenever. And he started just like swatting with the broom. I'm like, I don't think this guy's a licensed exterminator. So they started giving us glue traps. So we had a whole bunch of, so every time we put in a glue trap before we went to morning seder, we'd come back from morning seder, I'd wake up my roommate and I would find the, I'm just joking about the roommate part, I would kind of, and I'd find a couple of mice stuck to the glue trap. So what happens on Shabbos, you find the mouse, he's just there, he's still alive, and he's on the glue trap. Are you allowed to remove him from the place on Shabbos? So according to Rabbi Yashiv, yeah, he's a graf shel re'i. The mouse is disgusting. Whereas according to Rabbi Nissim Krelitz, no, that's a pet. If he's dead, that's gross. You know, that would be a graf shel re'i. So whatever these examples are, I mean, these examples are all things that are really gross, right? Meaning you have excrement and vomit and spit and dead mice. So all of these things would be a graf shel re'i. The Mishnah Brura then says in Sifkat and Kuflam Ralph and Kuflam Dalib, the graf shel re'i is, it's really fundamentally mukta, meaning it's mukta machmas kufa. This isn't like Michael Klovin where it's not mukta. No, we pasken it's fundamentally mukta. It has no purpose, but when people are there, it's a heter of kavanah brios. And then Mishnah goes weiter and says that not only is the tzoa mukta, but even if the empty bucket itself is there, there's nothing in it, it's just an empty bucket that is normally used for tzoa, that's also considered mukta and can't be moved if it's in a place that people don't use, if there aren't people hanging around there. They're assuming it's a klicheres. Klicheres is porous, and therefore it's always going to stink, meaning it's not like the way our toilets are made. They're made porcelain and glazed, and therefore everything washes off very very cleanly. So if you clean your toilets, they could be pristine. But in those days, what they would use was something that was absolutely gross. Okay, Mishnah Brura then goes on quotes a Magen Avraham in the Magen Avraham in Sivkatan Nun Tes. Yeah.
Why isn't it a kli? Why is it not the whole thing?
So the actual tzoa is tzoa. The bucket is, it is a kli, and it's l'chora kli shem lachto l'heter. But it's gross, so you would never use it for anything other than the tzoa, which itself is.
So it's a shem kli, or it's still a shem kli, it's just not.
Yeah, that's a good question. How does the Mishnah Berurah say? Sikon koflam advav. What does Mishnah Berurah say? Lozi graf, graf avit shneim shel cheres, al shel re'i nikro graf, shel meir ragayim nikro avit vodin imu shel eitz. Vayin le'el, imu shel matechos. In a graf avit avit shel kli, Mishnah Berurah says, even though it's a kli, mikol makom hu bechlal mukza machmas gufo, mishum dema is harbe. And it's called mukza machmas gufo because it's so very gross. V'chamer mistam mukza machmas gufo, yitzakayim l'reishim shen yu demutur, the graph who ke'evin v'domein rak lo tzia mi makum shadar sha mitir mishum kvodo. Meaning it's really mukza machmas gufo, you're only allowed to move mishum kvodo, v'lach zira and tzarech mayim, does metals on a day mayim, we'll get to that in a moment. So Mishnah Berurah then quotes a Magen Avraham. Magen Avraham in Sivkat Nun Tes writes as follows, where the Shulchan Aruch says that it's asur lo tzia, and Magen Avraham writes, nirli dim hum malei, v'yef shalif nosalav, that let's say the toilet bowl is full, and again, the way that would work, there was no flushing, so you'd have to empty it out in order to use it again. So when it's full, you're allowed to take it out in order to then be able to refill it. So you can take it out and bring it back. Va'od, says the Magen Avraham, dilgir sasenu mutal taltal tzoros adam lehedya mishum dechazil leklavim. Then he says, he quotes our girsa, meaning the girsa of Rashi, which is not what the Shulchan Aruch Paskin like, not like the girsa of the Rif, the Rosh, and the Rambam. Legir sasenu, you're allowed to take out the tzoros adam anyway, because it's not muksa, because it's roi leklavim. Acharif, arash, yesh lam girsa acheres, b'shas avchak, yesh lismoch al girsa seinu. That b'shas of chak, for whatever reason, if you need to be somech on our girsa, you can be somech on our girsa. So the Graf Shel Ri is in a place that doesn't bother you. The Magen Avraham is mekel like the girsa of Rashi, like the girsa of Rabbeinu Yeruchim, b'shas of chak, that I don't know what the shas of chak would be if it's not bothering you, but that you're allowed to remove it and return it if it's filled to the top. Either because of Kavod HaBrios, and that eventually you're going to need to reuse it, or b'shas of chak, that we rely on the shita that it's not muktzeh at all because it's something that's ra'ui for the dog. So that's Magen Avraham's two kulas when it comes to graf shel ri'i, even in a place that's not currently bothering you, if it's full. So if it's full, first of all, it is Kavod HaBrios because you're going to need to, you can't guarantee that you won't need to use the bathroom again. So since you might need to use the bathroom again, and right now it's not functional, and again, we're going to try to translate this into garbage, right? I mean, can you take out a garbage bin that's full, or a garbage bag that's full? So I don't have any more garbage to use. I just cleaned out from Friday night dinner, and everything from my Suda Shabbos, and everything is off the table, and everything's in the garbage, and it's overflowing. The garbage bag is overflowing. But I don't need it anymore. I'm not gonna, you know, I don't need it till tomorrow. Right now, I'm not throwing anything else away in the garbage. So if you would translate this over to that, right, even if it is a graf shel ri, even if it is muktzah, Magen Avraham would say, but you might need garbage. You might need to throw something in the garbage again over the course of Shabbos, just like someone might need to use the bathroom again over the course of Shabbos, and therefore you're allowed to move it. Plus, it's edible for klavim. Plus, you have the girsa of Rashi and the Bach. Now, you'd have to see, is it something that's edible for klavim? Like a dirty plastic bowl is not something that a dog would eat. A dog can't eat a plastic bowl. So is that, if you're going to consider that mitzah, so then it's going to be problematic. Okay, but we'll get to the practical applications soon. We're just trying to set up the principle. So again, so far in principle, what we set up is that graf shel ri, we really pass on like the Rif, or the Rush, and the Rambam, that it is fundamentally muktzah. The whole heter of moving it is for the sake of kavod HaBrios. If it's and therefore it should only be mutter to move if it's in the place where you're using that place and you want to be in that place. However, if it's a place where you don't need to be right now and it's full, Magen Avraham says there's room to be makel like the other girsa, and there's room to be makel that since you will need to use it in the, you know, later on in the day. So with those two factors, there's room to be makel. And the Shabura quotes that Magen Avraham. Shulchan Aruch and Sif Lamed Hei then paskins based on the Gemara and Beitza Daf Lamed Vavim Beis. The Gemara and Beitza says that Amar Shmuel Graf Shel Ri Vavet Shel Meimei Raglayim Mutal Otzil Ma'ashva. You're allowed to take them out to the Ashva. Ukeshu Magziro Nosin Bo Mayim Umagziro. Once you empty the Graf Shel Ri, then to bring it back inside, you need to put water in it, and then you can bring it back inside. So that's what Shulchan Aruch writes. Apol Bishu Mutal Otzil Graf Shel Ri Vavet Shel Meimei Raglayim. You're not allowed to bring it back in unless you added water to it. And the reason for that is because the graf shel ri, the actual bucket, is muktzah. So you're only allowed to bring it back if you add something that's not muktzah, like water to it. So it's a case where the assumption is that you have other empty buckets in your home that you could use as a toilet. So you have, you know, you're a fancy medieval homeowner, and you have seven buckets. You know, it's like the mansion in Back Lawrence. You know, you got seven full bathrooms or whatever. So you got seven buckets in your house. You don't need this one bucket that you're taking out, right? Only five people live in your house, and you have seven buckets. So you don't need this one that you're taking out right now. But that's so therefore, you wouldn't be allowed to bring it back in because it's muktzah and it's not really needed unless you add water to it. The water is not muktzah. So that's the case that the Gemara is talking about. If it was your only bucket, then you don't need the water. Mishabrua Kuf Lamed Ches just points out v'davka k'shem ru'uyim adayin l'shtiyas behema. That adding water, it has to be water that an animal would drink. Otherwise, the water is also muktzah. So the Mishnah Berurah explains that it's only if the water is drinkable by an animal, and if an animal wouldn't drink it, then even the water has the status of graf shel ri and can't be brought back into the house. Now, the Mishbrut then quotes what we just said, a machlokas, whether bringing the bucket with water back in is mutter only if you plan on later removing more garbage with the bucket, or even if you don't plan on using it for the rest of Shabbos, right? He says I don't need to be motzi more tzoa or mei raglayim with it later on. Still, I can utilize this heter of the machzir al yedei mayim. That's the pasuk reading of the Shulchan Aruch. But yesh machmirin b'zeh. He says yesh machmirin kama shkasu beis Yosef. Va'ayim b'sefer al yirabba shemachriya di'imu makum ha-mishtamer lo yachnisenu shalol l'tzorech. But if it's in a place where it's safe and it's protected, you're not going to lose it, you shouldn't bring it back in unnecessarily. Let me just finish the thought and we'll get back to it. So the Mishmur writes that it seems from the Shulchan Aruch that you're allowed to return the graf shel ri even if you don't need to use it again for the rest of Shabbos. But he says yesh machmirin that you're only allowed to return it if you want to use it for the rest of Shabbos. And if you look in Sharetzi and Kuf Yodalit, he says ta'amayu that their svar is the latira de kikar v'tinok ella le meis pilvad, that by adding water you're essentially utilizing the heter of kikar v'tinok. And the heter of kikar v'tinok, which we're going to learn about when we discuss buses, was a heter that was only utilized for a meis. He says it could be that if you need it, you don't even need the water. So the Shartzim explains that even that last opinion agrees that if you have no other place to relieve yourself, so then certainly you're allowed to return to the house even without water because of covered abrios. So to summarize, graf shel ri is mukta. But Chazal say, kavod abrios, you're allowed to remove it if you need to be there. If it's the only place you can relieve yourself, then you're allowed to empty it, even from a place that's not used by people, because you need it. Meaning, forget about the fact that it's ruining your home environment. The fact that you're going to need it again later in the day, even if it's up on the third floor where nobody's going to use, is enough of a heter to take it out and bring it back to your house, even without adding any water to it. If you have other places to relieve yourself, then you could return it to your house only if you add water to the bucket, and the water is not muksa, the water is drinkable for animals. So in Mishabrut, Sivkan Kavlam Zayin, he quotes Magen Avram, that graf shel ri, if the graf shel ri never left your hand, then you could bring it back to your house even without adding water. The whole heter of adding water to it is only if you let go of it. But once you have muksa in your hand, then you can bring it back without adding water to it. Okay, before we get to practical examples, questions, there are a few. You good? We're good, okay? See, sometimes just keep talking and then you forget your question. Or it was answered.
What's the reason to say, is the only reason to say that it's not utilizing the heter of kikar or tino because it's still in your hand? Like, why? The Charlatan says that the Yishnach is based on trying to apply kikar or tino. Why would it not be that?
Why would we not employ kikar or tino? Because we assume that it's only the meis pilvad.
No, I'm saying, so therefore you shouldn't be allowed to bring it back in, but it's only Yishmach Mirin not to bring it back in, so what's the hat there?
That we assume Kikar HaTinoch works beyond just the mace, whenever there's a major tzorach to get rid of something.
Shouldn't the bucket just have a status of Tishmach Laser?
No, because it's gross. The bucket itself is gross because of its enhanced meals kite.
No, but if you would theoretically never use it again, then it has a purpose still, no?
The purpose is heter, but it's gross. No, so if you need to use it again, so everyone said mutter, right? Then you don't even need to add the water. Everyone holds that it's mutter.
At that point, would be just like a
klishma klitzer? Maybe nothing at all. Maybe not, yeah.
Even though there was
mutter
inside of it?
Yeah, it was never a klishma. Klishma klitzer is hard to call it. I mean, you can't call it klishma klitzer. You don't use it for any iser. It's not, no malach is done with it. Person's allowed to go to the bathroom. There's no issue in that. So let's try to apply these dinim. You know, now that we have the basic principles of which are very hard to relate to Baruch Hashem. You know, for indoor plumbing. But let's try to apply these principles to things that actually are nogea in our daily lives. The Shulchan Aruch says something that holds excrement or vomit is a graf shel ri. What about like messy food leftovers in your pot? You know, you took out all the soup and it was one of those thick, hearty soups. And at the bottom, there's like the junk at the bottom of the soup that that nobody is eating, where there's chicken bones mixed with some carrots and some whatever, you know, there's just stuff left there. So is that considered a graf shel ri? What if something isn't gross for you, but it's gross for other people in your house? Maybe your wife or your sister or whatever finds something gross, but you're like, I have no problem living like this. There's a pile of dirty dishes on your dining room table, and it just doesn't bother you bechlal, but it bothers other people in your house. So who gets to determine if it's gross enough to be a graf shel ri? So they asked for Moshe, you know, if there's a klal to give as to what has to happen in order to make something a graf shel ri. So Moshe writes in Orchaim Chelkei, Simon Chafal Os Beis, Ubi'inin Hagdoras graf shel ri. So you're waiting, right? Like, what's the Hagdara going to be? Lo Shayech Litein Shir, Ela Tali Lefia Adam. You ask a person, is that gross? If the person says it's gross, then it's a graf shel ri for that person. If he says it's not gross, then it's not a graf shel ri for the person. V'chein tali din v'mufuzar, tosav le'mos yoser. Sometimes you have the same item, and if it's put in a neat pile somewhere, so then it's not a graf shel ri. They're okay with that there, because it's like in its corner, you know. But if it's mufuzar, if it's spread, it's scattered all over the place, then that's gross. Mashen kein u'makom echad, lo avle kol kach ma'us. Oz ein bo hatu laharbe inchi avlimu istinis mutter. But if you're an istinis, then it becomes a graf shel ri. So Moshe shies away from giving any real sort of hagdara of a graf shel ri. He says it really is completely subjective, depending on the person. So Shlomo Zalman is quoted in the Sefer Tzulis Shabbos that any time something causes ini'imus, it just makes you uncomfortable. You're not happy with it. So that's graf shel ri. So he says, like, you have shells, you know, you ate pistachios and there's shells all over the table. Or you were eating watermelon with pits in it, so you just spit the pits all over the table. So there are watermelon seeds all over the table, and they don't smell. It doesn't, there's not a foul odor. It's not like excrement or vomit. But you're allowed to remove them if guests are coming, and you're going to be made to feel very uncomfortable having that around when there are guests in your house. That's what Shlomo Zalman. That's what Shlomo Zalman assumes that would be enough. Now the Chut Shani of Nissim Karelitz writes that if it's ma'us to you, then it's mutlo levakish ma'adamachas shalagabav ein ma'us. Einu ma'us lotzio, meaning if your wife, your mother, your sister says that is gross, and you're like, nah, I don't think so, and they say, take it out, you can't tie it. No, it's muktzah. It's not muktzah. It's graf shel ri for them, and if it's graf shel ri for them, it's muktzah for everybody to move it out, which is always interesting. When do we say? I mean, we've been discussing this in several different contexts. When do we, you know, who gets to determine what's muktzah when you have different things for different people? So we discussed the balabayas gets to determine who the balabayas is that gets to determine. Maybe when it comes to klisha malachta lisa versus muktzah machlas cheshon kis, it depends on the person themselves, whether for them it's muktzah or not. But over here, Ravnissim Kralis just seems to think that you go with the more makel, meaning if it's gross for somebody, then it becomes a graf shel ri for somebody, and your house is supposed to be livable for everybody. Your house is supposed to be a place that's livable for anybody who's going to be there. So it's not about the relationship to the item, it's about the relationship to the makom. And if the makom can't be used by everybody, so Nissim Krell seems to assume, so then it's a graf shel ri and you're allowed to remove it. So that's how Nissim Krell seems to say. Now, what about just another klal over here, and then we'll get to dealing with garbage. Rav Shlomo Zalman in Shulchan Shlomo is not sure whether you're allowed to move something else that's muktzah in order to cover graf shel ri. Meaning maybe you have something gross, but the easiest way to handle it is by covering it. But you want to take something that's muktzah to cover it. Because maybe Chazal were matir removing a graf shel ri, but not covering graf shel ri in violation of tilpul muktzah. So Rav Shlomo Zalman in Shulchan Shlomo leaves it as a tzarech iyun. However, in the Chut Shani, Rav Nissim Kralitz does not leave it as a tzarech iyun. He says, "Afal b'shein zeh tiltul hagraf atzmo, ela tiltul muktza machmas iser velo machmas hagraf, mikol makom kivin shezui ofen l'salik es hagraf, hitiru gam l'talta l'muktza." He says, what difference does it make? If Chazal allowed you to pick up the muktza item itself and remove it, then they'll allow you to pick up a different muktza item to cover it, because it accomplishes the same goal, and it's the same iser, so the same, certainly if you're working with the Kavod Abrios Svara. Kavod Abrios Svara tells me that I'm allowed to violate Din D'Rabbanan for the sake of Kavod Abrios. So Mali, whether the Din D'Rabbanan that I'm violating is picking up the graf shel ri itself, which is muktza machmas gufo, or it's picking up something else else that's mutzah in order to cover the graf shel ri. What's the practical example of this? So the case where Nissen Krelitz brings, I don't know how practical it is, but he seems to assume it's practical. He says, makom shedelef gaz shayodolot berav Shabbos v'kava v'hareyach mafriya b'makom shenimtzon bo b'nei adam. I just don't know what the metzius would be. He says, if you have a case where there's gas coming out of your stovetop, and meaning the fire was on, and now the fire went out for some reason, so now there's just gas coming out of the stovetop. And he says, and it's not pikuach nefesh. I don't know how that ever happens, right? Meaning the gas itself is only made to smell so that as a warning system, right, for you. Right? Someone told me that once, that the gas itself doesn't have to smell. They only make it smell so that people could know to shut it off, because it's going to be pikuach nefesh. But he says, so are you allowed to turn the knob on the stove to shut off the gas? The knob on the stove is mukta. So he suggests that it has a mutl sogur midin graf shel ri kol zman shein chashash al yedei sheyizkor as beretz hagaz kan yidlak yoser eish b'makom acher. So he says, as long as you're not going to be violating, again, if it's pikuach nefesh, you're allowed to do whatever you want. But assuming that it's not a pikuach nefesh situation, so the fact that it smells and smelling up your house with that gas smell is enough to make it a graf shel ri. So, okay, let me take all the gas out. But there's no way to take all the gas out. The only way to handle the problem is by moving the knob, and the knob is muktzah. So am I allowed to be metaltal the knob in order to handle that problem? So it's in that context that Rav Nissim Kralitz says that you're allowed to move another muktzah item in order to take care of the foul smell. Rav Zalman Lechemia, Zichron al-Bracha, was also mekel. He said if Chazal allow carrying muktzah because of kavod abrios, then they allow you to carry muktzah because of kavod abrios. I don't care if you're carrying the graf shel ri or you're carrying something else out. Now, with all that, let's start talking about garbage removal, trash removal on Shabbos, right? This is very, very nogea lemaisa. I once gave a tamin halacha shir on the sliding garbage bins, you know, the cabinet ones that are built into the kitchen, and someone sent me like a whole sefer. Someone wrote like a whole, like 80-page kuntras on that, on garbage on Shabbos. I did not have the patience to read the 80-page kuntras. So let's do the abridged version of that inyan. So does it have the status of graf shel ri? So it would seem, based on the definition from Rav Moshe, that it depends on whatever you find to be disturbing, whatever you find to be repulsive in your context, and based on Shlomo Zalman, whatever causes you in the imus. So if you have a smelly garbage, then for sure it's a graf shel ri. For sure you're allowed to remove it. And you don't need to wait till it's full, right? It could be half full, but it stinks, and it's ini imus, so you're allowed to remove it. However, that the Shulchan Aruch says you're only allowed to remove a graf shel ri. We pass on the Rambam in the Rush. If people are going to be using that room, if it's actually a pagam in your kavod abrios, because you're going to be using that room, what if you're not going to be using that room anymore? You're going to a different room. So the Chut Shani paskins that if it's in a kitchen, and you're done using the kitchen, you're not going to be using the kitchen anymore, then you're not allowed to remove it. But if the kitchen is being used still to prepare the meal, or it's going to be used throughout the course of Shabbos, it's still early on in Shabbos, you plan on using the kitchen a lot, you're not leaving. Sometimes it's like, you know, you have Shalosh Shudis, and then you're heading out for Maariv, you know, or you're heading out to visit friends before going to Maariv or whatever. So you're gone. You're not using that place anymore. You're leaving. So just the fact that it smells wouldn't be enough to be matir taking out the garbage in such a case. It has to be something that you're going to be moving. So Melissa Krelitz explains that removing graf shel ri from an area that's used by people is mutter, even if you don't plan on using that place like right now. As long as it's at some point during Shabbos you're going to move it. So smelly garbage at the end of the Friday night meal, that's fine. If it smells and it's gross and it's the end of the Friday night meal, that's a because you're going to use your kitchen again on Shabbos morning. But at the end of Shalosh Shudis, where you're going to be headed off to shul and no one else is around, so the Chara, you would not be allowed to move it. In Shmir Shabbos Gilchsa, he paskins similarly that you could take out the garbage if it has a foul smell. And he says, even if it doesn't, if the garbage is full and you don't have anywhere else to throw the garbage, then it's also going to be mutter. Meaning that was the other svara we saw before, that if you have the graf shel ri and it's full, and I may not need to throw anything else out, and it may not smell, but I'm going to need to throw something else out at a later point, just like by the Graf Shalri, I may need to use the bathroom again later in the day. So the fact that you may need to use the bathroom again later in the day was enough of a heter. So over here also, the fact that you may need the garbage again later in the day, and right now it's full, is enough of a heter. But that only works if you have nowhere else to put it. In many, many homes, in the kitchen, when they remodel kitchens nowadays, they never remodel a kitchen with just one garbage, because that's so inconvenient, right? Meaning it's always better to have a second garbage can, because when the first one fills up, if you're not at a point where it's easy and convenient for you to take it out, you always want to have the spillover one, so that you could then, when that one is half full, you could then take out the first one, or more likely, you could forget about taking it out and wait till the second one is full, and then be like, there's no place to put the garbage, and then you'll take out the garbage. But at least in theory, so very often, when the first one fills up, there's still room in the second garbage that you have in the kitchen. So l'chora, that would not be okay. L'chora, that would be a problem, which is a real problem for a lot of kitchens on Shabbos. And you think about how we use our kitchens, we typically do take out, many people typically do take out the garbage without going through this whole cheshbon. Is there another accessible place? Does it smell, is this ruining our whole home environment? So we have to, we're going to have to talk about this, what the heter might be. Yeah.
What if the other garbage is inconvenient in the long term? It's another like 20 steps and you don't want to go there.
Yeah, okay. Maybe that's enough. Yeah.
If the garbage smells, but, the lid's closed or it's pushed into its jar.
Right. Also, the smell is not going to be a problem if it doesn't smell from outside of it. Meaning, just because when you open the drawer, it smells. First of all, are you even allowed to open the drawer? We'll get to that also. Meaning that also might be mukzah. In a chinami, the smell is a covered abrios issue. But if it's not a covered abrios issue, then it's not. Meaning, if it's closed.
Why does it have to smell? Only because it's not actually.
When it's not full, it has to smell. If it's full, then it doesn't have to smell. Right. Just like the actual graf shalri.
I'm saying actual graf shalri doesn't have to smell.
Well, it, not if
the assumption is this is not actually graf shalri.
It only has to smell if it's not full. If it's full, then you don't need it. Meaning it has to be gross. So it's only gross if it smells. It's not gross if you have
a dirty diaper in there and it doesn't smell.
What?
If it's a dirty diaper that somehow doesn't smell in the garbage, it's still not considered
gross.
Right.
So you should get that baby checked out. Super baby. I guess you wrap it up well enough, in a plastic bag or something. Yeah.
If you know there's something in the garbage that's going to start smelling, are you allowed to take it out before?
Hashtag is yes, I think. Meaning the anticipation is good enough, because the anticipation is good enough that you may need to use it again, so the anticipation of it coming to smell it would be good enough also.
Regarding Tyler's question, why would convenience matter? I mean, if you have another garbage
because you always have another option. You can go to a neighbor's house, so I think the assumption is that this is what you would want to use and what you would normally use.
Is there room generally for some level of harama, meaning using a place some random bedroom on the second floor, you want to take out the trash?
Oh, good. So we'll talk about harama also.
Room with someone else, like, oh.
Right. Let's go hang out over there. Yeah, so we'll talk about that.
Another 8 cents, instead of closing it so the smell goes away, you just leave it open and the smell's going to be
there. The smell's there and then you can take it. Good, so we'll talk about all these things. Well, what about, before we get to all these things, what about like in the camp setting where you have those big garbage bins on wheels that they, right, you know what I'm talking about? And they bring it to the end of each table and the waiter, pulls it in, right? You've seen this at the camp? Right, so what about those? Those better or worse?
You can move it if you need to clear the table. So, in order to clear that off the table, this process, you can move something else as much as cover to get rid of.
There are two mux issues: there's what's on the table, and there's what's already in the garbage. So, I'm moving the garbage to remove a graf shalri from the table, right? So, according to this analysis, it's a good point. So, if they don't smell. Meaning, let's say it's done, you want to put it away. Meaning, now you've already put all the plastic tablecloths in it, now you want to push it off to the side. So if they don't smell, l'chora, it should be a problem. If it's half full and it doesn't smell, l'chora, it should be a problem. So in Shmir Shabbos says, in Os Chaf Zayin, he says, none of this is really a problem, because the contents of our garbage aren't really what it's up. He says, well, we throw it out on Shabbos, you know, it's food that's edible for humans, let alone for animals, certainly for animals. And he says, therefore it's not muksah, so it's a basul davar asul davar mutter. And even if there are some muksah items in the garbage, probably the garbage can is a basul davar asul davar mutter, the garbage bag is a basul davar asul davar mutter. So you can move it, then you can move the garbage on wheels, and you'd be allowed to move the cabinet and a half full garbage bag, even if it doesn't smell, because it's all the basul davar asul davar mutter. That's what I heard from Rav Asher Weiss also. Rav Asher Weiss said, none of the stuff is muktzah. Most of the stuff we throw out is actually not muktzah. It's just all basul davar asul davar mutter, which would obviously solve the whole problem. Now, that only works if it taka was a basul davar asul davar mutter. Meaning, what if right before Shabbos you threw something out that was just gross? You threw out a baby's diaper, and that was the first thing that went into the garbage bag. And when Shabbos started, there was no davar mutter in there. It was a garbage bag with a baby diaper inside of it. And now, the rest of Shabbos, you may throw more things in it, but you can't change the status in the middle of Shabbos. You can't just add a davar mutter in the middle of Shabbos, unless you're using the heter of kikar tino, can you hold that heter applies over here? But if you assume that that heter does not apply, you're not allowed to just change that in the middle of Shabbos. Rama in Shin Yud, which we didn't get to, in Sifcha says that if something is a basul davar asur, when Shabbos starts, it cannot become a basul davar asur davar mutter by adding a davar mutter on Shabbos. So if the garbage is only filled with mutz items when Shabbos started, it remains a basul davar asur even if you throw other things in, like edible food, on Shabbos. So if you'd like to move around the garbage that's on wheels or open the built-in garbage cabinet, you should make sure that there's edible food in the bin at the onset of Shabbos, or something else that's not muktzah. You could, so some people have a chumrah that what they do is that in the cabinet, they not only have the garbage bag that's currently in use, they'll put a whole bunch of extra bags in as well. And that way, the whole cabinet is basul davar asul davar mutter, because it's holding other garbage bags, which are davar mutter, meaning other empty, clean garbage bags that are a davar mutter. Now, the problem with that is that only works. It's a technicality in the dinim of buses. Basul davar asul davar mutter only works if you can access the davar mutter without moving the davar asul. If you're able to easily access the davar mutter directly. So where do you normally hide the extra garbage bags? Under, right? So the only way to get to it is by moving the davar asur. If you have a situation where, like, when you pull out the cabinet, like, there's a floor to the cabinet, meaning, like, there's a garbage bin that's hanging, let's say, on the bottom of the, from the top of the cabinet, but then on the bottom, there's like a flat floor, and you can stick the garbage bags in there, and you can access them without pulling up the actual garbage bag that's in use, so then it's fine, and that would be basul davar asul davar mutter. But in my house, the way we have it is that there is no floor to that cabinet. You see the garbage bins just like hanging in midair, because they're there's a lid around the, so there's nowhere to put the extra garbage bags. So you wouldn't be able to use that heter. Again, if you hold all of this as a problem, if I recall, Rav Shechter does hold all of this as a problem, and he didn't even like the heter of the extra garbage bags.
The garbage bag itself, if you're going to the Shabbos, that's the buses that are also. Not even the bag itself. So you can't, there's no solution there. The garbage bag itself that's holding back.
Yeah, the whole thing is about the davar asur. And no davar mutter.
But the garbage bag is the problem.
Well, the bin is also. There could be multiple levels of buses.
But let's say you have empty bags on top of the bin, and then there's a garbage bag with a diaper in it.
Where are the empty bags?
It's inside the bin, but then you put a clean garbage bag on top of the bin.
So that doesn't help it to be buses the davar asur, the davar mutter, because the davar mutter has to be easily accessible without moving the davar asur. Yes, then everything's going to be a problem, right? Now so we have all of these potential heter, right? What did we say? One possible heter is Rav Asher Weiss, who says, and Shmir Shabbos, most of the stuff is not really muktzah anyway. But we said that's problematic, because what if the first thing there, when Shabbos started, actually was muktzah? So we said, okay, just always leave extra garbage bags there. So we said, well, that's not so pashut, because if the extra garbage bags are not easily accessible without moving the muktzah, then that's going to be a problem as well. Yeah.
Just kind of Tyler's question, meaning, let's say the garbage bags are on the floor, and that gives you a heter to pull out the drawer.
I
don't know, maybe this is what Tyler was asking. What gives you the heter to pull out the garbage bag itself, though?
Oh, nothing.
That itself doesn't have a garbage
bag. No, but it will at least allow you to throw things in the garbage.
But why are you allowed to pull it out? You're moving the garbage bag itself also, which doesn't have a...
Because the whole unit is a basus of davar asur davar mutar.
And that level of the garbage bag itself.
You can't pick up the garbage bag, but you can move the whole unit, which is basis of rasa davar mutar.
I'm not clear,
Simon. You're very clear. It's not you. Okay. Yes.
So instead of the whole putting clean garbage bags in, wouldn't the issue be more easily solved if you put something not mutar in the garbage, in the real garbage bag itself first?
Meaning that would solve the problem.
Isn't that the best issue?
L'chora, that's the best thing to do. So Rav Zalman Chaim Goldberg told Rav Eliyahu Goldberg that his minhag is that he avoids all these issues by taking an empty plastic bottle and putting it in the garbage before Shabbos. It's not really garbage. It could be used again. Exactly. Right? The plastic bottle is not muktzah because you could use it. And when waste is thrown in the garbage bin during Shabbos, which is mutter because the waste is graf shel ri, so you're allowed to throw it in the garbage bin, then the garbage bin becomes a basis of davra asur ula davra mutter, because you have the useless garbage, which is davra asur, the functional bottle, which is davra mutter. So if you have a cabinet with a built-in garbage drawer, you could put a few empty clean garbage bags on the floor of the cabinet if you have that, and the drawer becomes a basis of davra asur davra mutter. Which, again, would only allow you to open the cabinet, but you would still not be allowed to take a half full garbage bag that does not smell out of the to take it out, because then you don't have the heter of graf shel ri'i. Now, according to Rav Shlomo Zalman, garbages on wheels, the ones that they use in camp and yeshivas and stuff, can't be moved on Shabbos because they're basis l'davar ha'aser. And even putting clean garbage bags under the garbage bag that's being used isn't going to work, because those clean garbage bags aren't accessible without first moving the mutzah garbage bag. So again, you have to go back to the Zalman Chaim's solution of putting in one clean bottle that is a davar mutzah before Shabbos starts, and then that's going to be matter everything.
I don't know how buses work. Do you tape a garbage bag to the lid on the inside?
Would that make the bottom pail a buses? Pashtus is not. We'll discuss buses in greater detail, but Pashtus is not. It's creative.
Which part is the reshefting now? Like, being reshefting disagrees with someone's
eyes? I think he thought that the garbage bags themselves are like nothing. They're, I think there was something, he had some sort of svara like that. But the garbage bags aren't really a davar mutar. They're not, I think. I don't want to quote it. I have to ask him, but I think he wasn't pleased with it. But Lechara, I don't know. I thought Rav Asher Weiss and Shmuel Shabbos make a lot of sense. You go through the contents of our garbage, in a typical 21st century home, and you'll see that it's mostly stuff that's really usable if you really needed to. It's just that we're so affluent that we can get rid of it.
So not just Shabbos, but also halachically. So we should take out our garbage before Shabbos, probably. Every single item of Shabbos, take it out and put like an empty clean in there.
Yeah, or at least make sure that the first thing that's thrown in there is,
right.
Or that before, yeah, that the first thing that's thrown in there is not muktzah. But again, I think like most of the stuff that's thrown in there is not muktzah. Just make sure the first thing thrown in there is not like a diaper, like something that's like an absolute useless, just dirt from the floor or something like that. That you throw a plastic fork in there, that's fine, right? I think. Again, I don't know if Schechter says that way, but Rav Asher Weiss does, and it seems to make a lot of sense to me. But, So let's talk about the cabinet a little bit, like the actual drawer. So it could be that you're allowed to open the, meaning, stop, you want to throw something in the garbage. Not trying to remove anything. So let's assume, not like Rav Asher Weiss for a second, let's assume that the contents of your garbage are muktzah. It doesn't smell yet. It's not full yet. There's no, there's no other garbage bags in there, right? So is there any heter just to open up the drawer that has the cabinet that has the garbages in it? So when it comes to that, it could be that you can open it up to throw new things, new garbage into it, because that would be considered tiltul min atzad l'tzorach davar hamutar. You're moving a half-filled garbage bag because you're not min atzad, because you're only holding on to the handle of the drawer, you're not holding on to the garbage bag itself, and it's mutter because you're doing that for the sake of something mutter, throwing out the garbage. That's l'tzorach davar hamutar. But that's only mutter if the garbage was empty or it had something non-muktza when Shabbos started. If there was only muktza when Shabbos started, then the whole thing becomes a basis of davar aser, and opening it is not called tiltul min atzad anymore, because now you're being metaltal the actual basis directly. But in such situation, maybe you can rely on the chutzani who says that you're allowed to move a muktza item in order to remove a graf shel ri'i. Ooh, right? Remember we said before that just like I'm allowed to actually take a graf shel ri'i and move it, I'm also allowed to move another muktza item in order to make the graf shel ri'i something that I don't have to deal with. So yes, it's true that when I open up the cabinet, I'm only handling muktza. There are no other garbage bags there, and it's not smelly and whatever. There's no other heter that I have in place. It was only dirt that was in there when Shabbos started. Whatever, you have none of the other heterim. But maybe I'm allowed to move it anyway because I'm trying to get rid of graf shel ri'i. I'm trying to get rid of something that's muktza, that's graf shel ri'i, that's making my home uncomfortable to live in. And maybe that's why I'm allowed to open it. So that heter of tiltul min atzad might also work for moving the garbage that's on wheels or the medium-sized garbage bins that are common in people's homes that could easily be picked up and moved, because they themselves are usually not considered a graf if they're clean, and indirectly moving the garbage by holding on to the bin, the handles of the bin is tiltul min atzad. But if the bins are dirty, then they themselves would have the status of a graf and may not be moved unless they're in a place that's disturbing to you. Now, when it comes to the dirty garbage bin on wheels or a dirty medium-sized garbage bin that's in your house that you could easily move, the only mutter way to bring it to the table would be by moving a paguf or a kalach riyad. You'd have to do it with the shinui. You'd have to kick it with your feet or something like that. If you assume that is, again, if you don't have any of the other heterim that we mentioned. So again, to summarize, let's bring it all home. Usable waste in the garbage is not waste, is not mukta, and therefore will make the whole thing a basis of davar mutter. However, unusable waste in the garbage is mukta and can't be moved. So you have dirt or whatever, something that's a diaper, something like that, a dirty diaper that's in the garbage, that makes the whole thing mukta. So what are the heterim to move it? So if the garbage is full, or if the garbage is smelly, it itself is a graf shel ri'i, so you can take it out. So if the garbage is not full, then you're not allowed to take it out, because it's mukta, unless it's smelly. So if it's not full, and it's not smelly, then you're not allowed to take it out. If the garbage is in a drawer or on wheels, so then it could be moved if it also has non-mukta items there from before Shabbos. According to the Shmir Shabbos, the definition of non-muktza items could even be food remnants that an animal would eat, whereas Rosh Hashanah would say, no, it needs to be something that can be taken out of the garbage and reused. I don't think I mentioned that before. Shmir Shabbos seems to suggest that, yeah, any food remnant is something that's good enough, that's not considered muktza. Rosh Hashanah said, would you take it out and feed it to your dog? If you wouldn't take it out and feed it to your dog, then it's muktza. Meaning, by virtue of the fact that you're throwing it in the garbage and you're showing that you don't want to eat it, your dog doesn't want to eat it, so then it could only work if it's something that you would actually take out of the garbage. And according to Rosh Hashanah, you'd be allowed to open the garbage drawer to throw out new garbage because it's considered tiltul min atzad l'tzorach davar hamutar. If you assume like that of Nissim Karelitz, that you're allowed to, which makes a lot of sense, that you're allowed to move another davar hamuktza in order to save yourself from the situation of graf shel ri'i. Good. So that is graf shel ri'i. Now, another, yeah, question.
Just halacha l'maaseh, we rely on that chutzani.
I would. I think that makes sense. But another halacha l'maaseh aspect of this: what about graf shel ri'i in the middle of the street? Meaning, dog owners have to walk their dogs, right? And the reason they have to walk their dogs is because not only the dog needs to get out, the dog needs to, you know, needs to relieve himself, and you'd rather him not do that in the house. But you can get a ticket if you don't clean up after your dog. Plus, you won't be loved by your neighbors if your dog leaves droppings all over the place, and you don't do something about that on Shabbos. So that's new of Jatina. I mean, that's graf shel ri'i, right? But What's the problem? When do we say grav shel ri'i is mutar? We pass like the Ram, the Rif, and the Rush. That if it's cramping the way you're living, you know, it's hard for me to live here like this. I don't live on that street. It's three blocks from my house. It's on my neighbor's lawn. You know, it's not bothering me at all. I'm gonna go back home and I'm gonna be perfectly happy in my home that smells great, while my neighbor is scraping the bottom of his shoe. You know, like it doesn't bother me at all. So is that considered to be a grav shel ri'i situation? So the Mishnah Berurah in Sivkot and Kuf Lamed Aleph says that if there's a grav shel ri'i in the street, in a place where a lot of people walk, you're also allowed to move it. Right? If you look in Kuf Lamed Aleph, he writes, Kimo chaseros ha'isus v'nei abadim shu makom drisas ha'regel. V'yitiru l'fanosu mishum kvodov v'adinim u'munach v'mofi makom drisas ha'regel mutru l'sal kol tzadim. Shmir Shabbos also says this way, like the Mishnah Berurah, not surprising. So if you're walking a dog on a street that people go, so you're allowed to move the excrement. However, if you're walking in a place where there's not a lot of people, you know, or it's not a makom drisas haregel, so then probably you're not allowed to clean up. And one last thing about grav shel ri'i, and tomorrow we'll get into pets on Shabbos, Bez Hashem. Shulchan Aruch and Sif Lamed Vav says that you're not allowed to deliberately make something into a grav shel ri'i. But if you did, you're still allowed to remove it. Shitim Betzes in Mesechus Beitza and Daf Chafalfim Beis explains that you're allowed to make the grav shel ri'i if there's some sort of purpose in doing so. So eating foods that will make a mess, right? Meaning every time you have pistachios, there are shells all over the place. Every time you have watermelon, there are seeds all over the place. So there's always going to be a mess that's going to need to be cleaned up. That's not called that you're deliberately making a grav shel ri'i, where it would be, you know, where it would be a violation of ein osin grav shel ri'i l'chadchila. You know, da'ainu l'havi davar sha'asa l'ma'es kidei lo tzio likashe yema'es. Because that's just living. I mean, that's like going to the bathroom. You're allowed to go to the bathroom. We don't say, oh, but you're making a grav shel ri'i when you go to the bathroom. No, that's perfectly permissible. So you can let kids play knowing that they're going to make a mess and that the things are going to need to be disposed of. Shulchan Aruch and Sif Lamed Zayin tells us that even though you're not allowed to move a grav shel ri'i when it's in a place that's not bothering you, if it's going to be a hafsid mamon, then you could put yourself in that location in order to remove it. So makom dika pseida mutar lahachnis mitaso etzel grav shel ri'i kol yishvasa sham kedei lo tzio. So if you're afraid that you can get a ticket for not cleaning up after your dog, and it's not a makom drisas ragle adam, so you don't really have a heter, so just bring a cot and go, you know, outside, and you're going to take a nap right next to where your dog just pooped, and then you'll clean up the dog poop, and it'll be good. But it sounds like only if it's for makom hefsid, which deals with Jesse's question from before, can you just say, oh, I'm going to hang out there now? So he says, yeah, but only for makom hefsid, not if you're going to want to. Not if you're just going to want to move it. Okay, so Be'ez Hashem, tomorrow we'll discuss pets on Shabbos. Very, very Nogea L'Maisa. And everyone have a great day.